lawyer up with our official attorney, Lisa Lanier. Let me just say this. I'm looking at the docket here. And on story number one and story number two, I believe I will lose the case. I am going for the people that I believe will lose, but I will take that because I'm on the side of right. I'm on the side of justice.
So you say. This is going to be a reference that only certain people will get, certainly lost friends, missing friends who would get this the most. But your track record is almost like the guy that Perry Mason used to beat.
Oh, yeah.
Time and time again. Or maybe for more modern audiences, Matlock.
Yep. They win their cases over and over and over. I'm on the other side of it. But by golly, I'm fighting for right. I'll just say that. I'm fighting for the public. In this case, I've been called emotional justice, and it's an add-on here for our attorney, Lisa Lanier.
Is this meat or squirrel?
Squirrel first, then meat. I'm going squirrel first, then meat, okay?
Not
the same story. Let's bring Lisa Lanier in here and get her take on this. Hello, Lisa. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I hope you guys are.
Doing really well.
Do attorneys keep track of their wins and losses in the courtroom, Lisa?
Do I keep track of mine, or do all attorneys?
Do you think all attorneys do that in some way?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, we're all very competitive, and
you're trying to win the thing. Well, I don't have a good track record in here. I'm not an attorney. I almost was. I considered University of Georgia Law School. And by consider, I mean I got the pamphlet. I sent away for it. And I considered taking the LSAT, though never sat for them, because I don't take tests well. I'm not a good test taker. My father said, I'm not paying for that.
And now, two generations later, you're saying the same thing to your son.
My son, I'm not paying for that. He wants to go to the University of Tennessee now because he likes that checkerboard orange and he likes football. Okay.
He likes Knoxville Betties.
Good reasons to change schools. Let's take you to Pennsylvania now. Rural Pennsylvania, where we just learned of this story an hour ago. Mark Longo has a home there. He runs a farm for wayward animals, horses down on their luck, llamas that have been abused. They wander.
Cows that have been knocked up. And
cows.
Listen to how you talk about this place.
The bull split town.
Terrible.
Wayward animals.
It's a haven for wayward animals. And he uses a squirrel that he rescued 7 years ago named Peanut in order to raise money for this farm. He puts Peanut out on his Instagram, and Peanut has become an internet sensation, which does get some funding. It's the only way he makes money for his home for wayward animals. He rescued Peanut when he saw his mother run over by a car in New York City as an orphaned squirrel. He took the squirrel into his home, rehabilitated that squirrel for months, then turned it loose into the wild, only to have that same squirrel show up on his porch a day later with a broken tail and thought, I can't turn this squirrel away again. So he's raised the squirrel.
The universe has brought Peanut to him.
Exactly. Now, unfortunately, that squirrel has been taken. A raid of his home by no fewer than 8 state agents taking that squirrel.
I know the laws are the laws and the rules are the rules, but the fact of the matter is they brought 8 officers here who ransacked my house for a squirrel and a raccoon.
I should mention there was also a raccoon involved.
Fred. Goes by the name of Fred, Lisa.
Fred the raccoon, who he's only had for a few months. I'm emotional about this, but he says, come on, just tell me the rules and I'll follow them. I've had this squirrel for 7 years. It raises money for all these other animals. Why are you taking this squirrel away from me? And the saddest part, he doesn't know if Peanut is alive or dead.
My next step is to be contacted. You know, DEC, the state, nobody has reached out to me to say anything. I don't know if Peanut is alive or they euthanized him.
He's at Gitmo.
Okay. Put me on this jury, and I wouldn't rest until Peanut went back to that man, Mark Longo. I would be the one holdout juror, I don't care what, because I am on the side of this man. Lisa, side with me. Talk to me. Does he have a chance of getting Peanut back?
If they work with him to process paperwork that would be necessary to get an exception to having a wild animal, particularly one that's classified as a rabies risk, that's the problem. There are certain animals, you know, these sanctuaries can, you know, he can have domestic animals all day. Any number of, you know, dogs, cats, even like cows, goats, whatever. Mm-hmm. But wild animals like raccoons, possums, you know, squirrels, they are classified differently. Mm-hmm. And you have to, the laws of the state, and he's right on the border between New York and Pennsylvania, I think. But I think Pennsylvania is where he's technically titled. The laws of Pennsylvania mm-hmm. say that if you're going to have a wild animal like this, you have to get approval. You can't just have one. And he didn't get the approval. He's had the, you know, squirrel for 7 years. He says, look, I started filling out the paperwork when all this, you know, when people started complaining. So let me finish that. If they work with him and process that paperwork and don't kill the squirrel, then all is going to be fine. But they may have already, like you said, they came in, you know, kind of guns blazing over Peanut.
Oh, Lord. Oh, God. Don't say it. Don't say it. No, I cannot face a world where that squirrel has been killed for no reason. I just cannot face it. Yeah. I'm sorry. I hope.
Yeah, the squirrel was adorable with the little hats and stuff and playing with the cat. Oh, yeah, it was adorable.
Yeah, they put it.
I say was because I think they've killed it.
Oh, God. Oh, God. No. No, I just, oh man, that would really hurt me. If they follow up on the story and say, sorry, we would have worked with you, but we were a little overzealous and the squirrel's dead.
Yeah, the guys in the truck were so hyped.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, this is like the best thing they've ever got to do, right? Like, you know.
Here's a picture of our suspect.
It's terrible. I'm so upset for that. Now, here's the next story. Chris Dim said, is this squirrel or meat? That was squirrel. This is me. I'm going to throw my... listen, I expect to be ridiculed for my take again. This has happened with multiple restaurants, including Burger King. And now it's Subway being sued for grossly misleading ads. There is a new class action lawsuit because it is alleged now that the Subway sandwich on television commercials...
The ones with the Charles Barkley.
Yes.
And Kelsey.
Yes. All of them. When they show those Subway sandwiches on TV and billboards, they have approximately 200% more meat than the actual Subway sandwich. And I, like these folks filing this lawsuit, am tired of being shown a product that is way better on television than it is in the store. I've gone to bat many times before against these giant restaurants, so I'll go to bat again, but usually Lisa tells me, you got no shot at this, kid. Just sit down. This is just how it is. We expect it. Swallow it. Lisa, any difference in this case?
No, not really. I think the problem is, so New York, where this was filed, there are a couple of jurisdictions that have really pro-consumer laws that have to do with a false advertising and consumer protection. And so they file a lot of these in New York. In this one jurisdiction, there have been tons of them, these class actions. And there was a time there when the plaintiffs were winning right and left, and it was every little thing was getting shot down. And then the pendulum has kind of swung the other way a little bit, and now the courts are saying, okay, if it's an overt misrepresentation, typically in writing, you know, saying that it has an ingredient that it doesn't have, that sort of thing, then they're siding with the plaintiffs. But where it is something more nebulous like this, they're tending to side with the restaurants. And so in that jurisdiction, very similar lawsuits have been tossed out by the judges against McDonald's, Wendy's, and Taco Bell just in recent in the recent year. And so if that's any indication, this one's going to go the same direction. Now, you know, Subway also in that same jurisdiction fought for 4 years and won over the 12-incher that wasn't really 12 inches.
It was 11 inches.
And they ended up, yes, it was 11 inches, but they ended up winning that. So, you know, you see the pendulum swinging the other way when it comes to things that are, you know, not always able to be as precise. But the one saving grace where this consumer might win is that apparently the ads were really an exaggeration. They said 200% more meat in the ads. And if that, you know, the judge could say this is a little different. Yeah, this is a little different because it's such a gross exaggeration. That's the only saving hope they have.
I think they should. In fact, that would be tantamount to showing, let's say, a burger from a restaurant with three patties on it, but when you get there, it's only one patty. Now that's...
Objection.
Well, it's that much more meat. It's that much more meat. And I was surprised to hear you say that Subway won that lawsuit when they were serving 11-inch footlongs because they said it was a $5 footlong, and somebody measured it time and again, said this thing's 11 inches, you know? Guys measure
things. They've won and lost that same, which is interesting because now you have a conflict in two different jurisdictions. In this jurisdiction, they won after 4 years. There's another jurisdiction where they lost.
I thought.
And so you've got a conflict now in two different districts. But, you know, here's the solution, Jersey Mike's.
Well, yeah, that is a... All right, fair enough.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, they do put a lot of meat on their sandwiches.
They do. All right, I agree with that. That's right.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you.
Just go Jersey Mike's. Have you tried the Jimmy John's Pickle Witch? I want to try that.
Oh, with the pickles as bread?
No bread, just pickles?
Yeah. I have not tried that, but I would. I would try that. You know,
I love a pickle.
Many times, I do too, people will tell me, including our own Lisa Lanier, it's advertising. You know the deal.
It's all fluff and nonsense.
You know the rules. It shouldn't be. It should not be fluff and nonsense. It should be real enough. They can show you a pretty sandwich, but not 200%
well, look,
more
as
meat.
As long as Arby's continues to make their commercials, Subway got nothing to worry about.
They really fly under the radar.
Right.
Nobody fluffs a sandwich like Arby's on TV.
They are fluffers. And they have the most perfect, like, cheddar cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, just
the distribution is magnificent.
Perfect. And it's really,
then when you get it, it is.
It's not even
what
close.
Is this?
There's no resemblance to what they sell you. No.
No, you're right. You're right. A woman is suing JetBlue over a dangerously cold ice cream sandwich that she believes broke her front tooth on an international flight. She was flying. Her name is Carla Quinones. She was flying from New York City to Paris in August when crew members served her a strawberry shortcake flavored dessert. And she says they did not warn her that this dessert was frozen so solid that when she bit into it, it broke one of her teeth. I had to relive a terrible story when we heard about this of cracking a tooth on a urinal.
I don't think you know about this, Lisa.
Yeah.
It was one of his molars.
It was a molar.
Don't ask.
I don't want to discuss it.
Yeah, I'm so frightened of that one.
I was younger. It was awful. Anyway, this woman bit into that frozen ice cream sandwich, which Chris Dim, by the way, has had this particular brand and said they're great.
Lisa, they're Nightingale ice cream sandwiches?
Do you know it? He says they're
you
great.
You would love them.
Anyway, the woman broke her tooth, so instead of frolicking all over the Eiffel Tower and through Paris with her lover, she wound up with painful dental surgery, and the airline did nothing to help her on the trip, and then her whole trip, she says, was absolutely ruined. Does she have any
recourse? Root canal.
Yeah.
Multiple procedures.
Ugh. Any recourse against the airline, or do you just assume, hey, it's ice cream, it could be frozen solid?
No, you know, she actually does. So here's the deal. You know, I take international law much more seriously than I used to.
Okay, right. Yeah, you've told us. That's right. Yes.
So it turns out that this is covered under what used to be the Warsaw Convention, now called the Montreal Convention, which in essence has strict liability for injuries that take place on international flights. Mm. So essentially, if anything out of the ordinary happens and you're injured, then you can recover. And you know, there are some limitations to what can be recovered. But I think, you know, because of this kind of strict liability, the only thing that JetBlue has going for it is they could say that it's not out of the ordinary to eat ice cream on the flight. But, you know, her pleadings, I'm sure, are going to allege that it was unusually, you know, hard frozen and that was the out of the ordinary thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they even sort of rule almost like in a circular reasoning kind of a way that the incident itself is the unusual occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's designed so that you don't have to show negligence on the part of the airline, and it shifts some liability. Like if luggage falls out of an overhead bin and hits you, it's really about that, but it would cover this.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa, we talked about this when we first heard the story, the fact that no one else cracked a tooth on the flight.
Yeah.
Does that enter into it in JetBlue's favor?
I mean, it could be that she, you know, maybe the inherent sort of strength of her teeth, the condition of her teeth, where maybe it was weaker. You never know. I don't, you know.
I think she was just dogging that ice cream. I think she really went after
they
that.
They call
ice
it chomp size.
She just went, exactly.
She was chomp size, small.
It's called a chomp size sandwich. And Lisa, you'd love it.
Yeah. Oh, he says it's great.
Oh, I'm looking these up. This is the most Chris Dem ice cream.
It is.
From the name to the size. Yep. I mean, it is.
The Nightingale.
Yeah. The Nightingale.
Tiny.
The Nightingale.
Yeah. I mean, we'd eat this thing in one bite.
Oh, I know that.
That's what you did.
Of course, you probably did.
She Kellyed it.
We'd crack it too. She Chris Kellyed it. They did the Chris Kelly JetBlue lawsuit. And
even reading the story here, it sounds very Chris Dem. Mm. Our Belgian chef Xavier came where he met his sous chef Hannah, and together they created the ultimate ice cream sandwich. What?
That's right.
Just buy great value like a normal person.
Ain't that the truth? Buy that ice cream from Walmart that doesn't even melt when it's left out in July.
If you're paying more than $1.99 for 24 ice cream sandwiches, you're getting ripped off.
Robbed.